The Flint water crisis continues, and there's no real end in sight. Governor Snyder last week announced a $2 million grant in an effort to begin replacing the lead-filled pipes in the Flint water system, with hopes of getting the process underway in the next 30 days. It's something that most say is not nearly enough and not nearly quick enough. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Beyond remediation, there are also efforts underway to upgrade laws regarding water testing requirements to better protect our systems across the state. Ann Arbor State Representative Jeff Irwin is pushing for quick action on both these fronts. Good morning, and thank you for returning to Issues of the Environment. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
$55 million, that's what you'd like to see put into Flint today.
Well, I think a lot of us are very frustrated with what's happened in Flint. It's just a heartbreaking crisis, and we've known about this since at least last fall, and I'm very frustrated personally, and I know a lot of others are, and certainly the mayor of Flint is Mayor Weaver, that we don't have shovels in the ground already. Everybody knows that lead service lines are a big part of the problem. The governor has even proposed putting some dollars for replacement of lead service lines in the budget, but that budget isn't going to be passed until the end of May, early
June.
Yeah,
he's proposing $25 million, correct?
Exactly, and the mayor says she needs $55 million. So I think we need to accelerate that. Let's get that work going now. Let's get shovels in the ground, because the people of Flint need to see that there's a long-term solution on the horizon.
What could you do to get that $55 million to do, and how would it impact the budget that will be passed before the start of the new fiscal year?
Well, we've had a couple of Flint aid packages come past, and just last week when the Flint aid package came through to pay for 65% of the water bills for the people in Flint, Democrats made a number of amendments, and some of my colleagues from Flint made an amendment to make sure that we would actually pay 100% of the bills of the people in Flint, because many of us think that's the right thing to do. I put up an amendment to bring forward $55 million in funding to remove lead service lines, because that's the request that the mayor has made. I think we should get that work going right away, and we certainly put that proposal before our colleagues on the other side of the aisle last week, and unfortunately they didn't put that money in now, but the governor did react by putting a couple million dollars out to try to get this process going. The people of Flint need action now, and they need to see a long-term solution coming. This is work that should have started last fall.
I guess some of the good news is that with this minimal $2 million that's going to start to at least replace some of the more contaminated lead pipes, Flint Water and Light has been put in charge of it, and they have a great record of success in helping with the water supply in Lansing.
Yeah, the Lansing Board of Water and Light did a comprehensive lead service line replacement. It took them about 10 years. They did it in a deliberative way, and now they have extended the offer to the city of Flint to say, look, we know how this can be done. We've done it before. We think it could be done in an accelerated way, and we're willing to share all of our notes and details about how it got done in Lansing.
On a much smaller scale, it took them about 10 years to conduct the work they did in the Lansing area. Realistically, I mentioned that there's no real end in sight. This is something that's going to go on for generations in the city of Flint, isn't it?
Well, I think that the frustration is going to go on for generations, but I don't think that the water problems need to go on for generations. Lansing was able to replace their lead service lines over the course of 10 years, but if we were to really bring in the number of contractors required, that process could be accelerated dramatically. And with a really fulsome and with a full court press from state government, with a lot more aggressive effort to bring in those contractors, bring in those plumbers, get that work going. I think that Flint could be looking at their lead service lines replaced in a much smaller period of time, maybe a year or two.
If there is any silver lining to be had, is it that we've taken politics and partisanship out of water and water issues that now everyone recognizes? We have to address these things and be extremely proactive.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I think the silver lining, if there is anyone here, is that the Flint water crisis has really exposed a lot of the problems with our water delivery system. And one of the issues that it has exposed is the way that some communities will game their sampling system, their sampling regime. Every community that provides municipal water is required to test water at certain levels and report those tests to the MDEQ and the EPA. And what we've learned from the Flint water crisis and from the work of researchers like Mark Edwards is that some communities game that system. They'll use pre-flushing before tests.
And explain pre-flushing, because, I mean, it, kind of sounds exactly like what it is. At the same time, it can be kind of obfuscated.
Sure, absolutely. So it makes intuitive sense that if you were to turn all the faucets on in your home and let them run for several minutes, that will flush out all the water that's been sitting in the pipes that are between the main and your home, whether those are pipes in your home or the service lines. And some communities in Flint did this. They would ask folks to pre-flush their water for long periods of time before the testing so that the water that was being tested was not the water that was sitting in their lead service lines, but was water that was coming directly from the main. And they use that pre-flushing to try to produce results that are cleaner than what the citizens are really experiencing out of their taps. So they do pre-flushing. They'll do selective sampling. They'll throw out certain samples that have visible signs of lead or rust. They'll target their sampling at neighborhoods that have recently had lead service line replacement, or target that sampling in neighborhoods.
What's the motivation behind all this? Is it to save a dollar here or there and not have to address existing issues? I mean, what would motivate us not to just immediately go to the worst area to test and find out exactly how we have to remediate the very worst of our supply?
Well, the reality is I'm not sure what motivates these folks, and I think that we're going to get more information out of that when some of these lawsuits move forward and we have an opportunity for discovery and some of the folks who made these decisions can testify. But it makes some sense to think that a lot of these water system operators are really reluctant to tell the public that there might be a problem with their water. They don't want to alarm people unnecessarily. They also don't want to alarm people even necessarily.
Right.
And so, I think that's probably what's driving this. And as a reaction, one of the things that we've done in Lansing, and I've been a co-sponsor of all these efforts, is House Democrats introduced a water rights package several months ago, right in the wake of the breaking of this Flint water crisis, to, for instance, prohibit pre-flushing and require all water systems to use EPA's best practice guidelines for how to do water sampling.
Which are recommendations and suggestions as opposed to regulation.
Precisely, yeah. Those are recommendations, and we want to put those right into state law in House Bill 5094, which was introduced by Representative Neely from Flint. We want to beef up the public notice and transparency requirements. And we also want to give shutoff protection to people who are in a vulnerable situation and who haven't been able to pay their bills because of what's been happening in Flint. So, there's a lot we can do to try to improve our water sampling techniques in Michigan to make sure that, one, this problem that we've had in Flint doesn't happen again, and two, to make sure that if there are citizens in other parts of the state that are experiencing unsafe water but aren't being told about it by their water department because of some of these sampling errors and methods to game the system, that stops as well and that those communities can be protected.
If you look at communities like Lansing and Ann Arbor, where they've identified the last 118 connector pipes in the water system that contain lead, they're going to get those all replaced. There's a plan in place to do that. Is there policy modeling there that can be followed at the state level and throughout the state to best protect all water supplies?
Well, there certainly be best practices out there. I think Lansing's program was a really good one. In Ann Arbor, it's a slightly different situation because they don't actually have lead service lines, but they do have some fittings and some of those connectors, elbow pieces. I'm not sure if that's a model or not, quite frankly, David, but it's certainly a good practice. And I think that the Flint water crisis is highlighting the importance of getting the lead out of our sewer systems entirely.
As our time begins to run out together, let's end on this. You've proposed $55 million for funding for Flint now. You've proposed changes in the standards for water testing now. When is that going to happen, and is that going to happen?
There has been some movement on aid for Flint. It's been moving too slowly, but I do think that we're going to see some lead service line replacement. We saw the toe go in the water on that last week from the governor's office, and there is a recommendation in the budget to provide $25 million in lead service line replacement. I expect that will probably go forward in late May, early June, and then that work can eventually get started after that. So once again, the urgency is not there, in my opinion, and I'm trying to push things forward as much as I can. But I do think that there is an acknowledgement across the state that, because of the emergency manager, because of the mistakes that were made at state DEQ, because of the institutional indifference that the governor's office has shown to the people of Flint, that the state of Michigan has a responsibility to try to make things right.
Thank you so much for your time, as always, and there's going to be plenty more occasions to discuss all related issues.
Thanks for having me on.
That is Democrat Jeff Irwin. He's the 53rd District Representative from Ann Arbor. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.